This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is. And welcome to Klaus Financial's Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. For more information about anything at all that we talk about, go to klausfinancial.com. That's spelled K-L-A-A-S. Financial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. Joining us this week in studio, Steve and Kyle. Mr. Scow and Mr. Kite, welcome back onto the Michael Google Show.
Good morning, Mike. And how about those Cubbies, huh? Finally, after 108 years.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Yes.
You know, fantastic. Before we even get into this, I have to ask just what was your experience? Like, you're a lifelong Cubs fan, I know. What was it like when they finally won for you?
You know, even like many of the other individuals that were saying that were being interviewed, it's just one of those times when it's even hard to define how you feel about it. When your team, after especially that long of a time frame, generation after generation waiting for that win to occur, and then you finally get to experience it. And yeah. It is very special, no question about it. Something you can tell your grandchildren and great-grandchildren down the road.
Kyle, any comments?
No, I was right again on game 7, so I'm 2 for 2 so far, so we'll take that. But I don't know how long we can keep it going. So,
oh, man. Listeners, if you have any questions at all about retirement, about how to plan for retirement, you can call Klaus Financial at 877-8440. That's 877-8440. That is also the number to call for the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week, which we will ask later on in the show. This week's winner will win a $25 gift card for Steak and Shake. Love Steak and Shake. And if you have any questions live on the air with us that you'd like to ask Kyle or Steve about, 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. All right, so with the election tomorrow and with the Fed deciding what to do with interest rates, the economy, global warming, all these things that have some uncertainty about, should I be concerned about my portfolio?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. And, you know, there's always stuff to worry about. It's if you look back at the history of the stock market, it's kind of interesting. It always seems like it's something that we're worrying about, whether it's West Nile or Zika now. It's kind of like they all have the same thing. They just change the names every, you know, 10, 20 years. So there's plenty of stuff to worry about, especially when we look domestically and then with everything going on internationally now as well. But the only thing that we can do is control the controllables. So we can't control what the market does. We can't control if there is a terrorist attack or anything like that. So when we look at this, we look at what can we control. And a lot of that has to do with your savings rates and also your asset allocation within your portfolio. So, you know, you hear us harping on it all the time is to diversify. Don't run a single stock or in a single sector like technology or gold or whatever the next hot thing is that you want to buy into. We need to stay diversified. And that's allowing us to just mitigate the overall risk as much as we can and still get a decent return. But we joke that we're trying to just keep the waves as manageable as we can because we're going to have some waves in investing. It's going to go up and it's going to go down, but we want to keep them within a range that we can handle. And then another thing is don't do what everybody else does and what the most common mistake for investors is, which is to buy high and sell low. I mean, so many people, you know, you had 2008, everybody remembers that, where they all wanted to just get out of the market when it had already dumped 40%. And if you stayed on the sidelines, we hear this all the time where people got out in 2009 and never got back in. Well, now you've missed out on these, you know, 7-8 years here of great growth that we've had since then.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that is the number one mistake that people make, and it's a hard one to train yourself to do what everybody else isn't doing and be the contrarian. So, and then also the biggest thing that we can control for retirees and what we want them all to do, you've heard us talk about this all the time as well, is pay off that debt. If we don't have the debt, then we have some flexibility as far as what our monthly income needs. We may not need to pull as much off the portfolio. We can let that money stay invested if we're going through a rough time in the market to try and catch some more growth on the way up. But, you know, the credit card debts are huge. I was reading a stat the other day that the average credit card debt among households in the U.S. is $15,263, and the interest rate on those is almost 15%. So, you know, we talk about debt and how it affects your investing returns and everything like that. So when you're talking debt at 15%, you're essentially guaranteeing that your money is losing 15% a year when you're paying that type of interest. So that's just something we have to watch out for. And the other big one for people is mortgages. Obviously, a lot of people, that's one of their big triggers for retiring is I'll retire once my mortgage is paid off. Right now, the average mortgage debt in the United States is $147,591. Let me repeat that.
$147,000. Oh, I'm sorry. You were going to repeat it. I was going to repeat it.
No, go ahead. It's $147,591. That is a pretty substantial.
That's the average mortgage debt.
Yep, exactly, in the United States. That is a substantial amount of money to be in debt. So if you're in that debt level going into retirement, you're talking, you know, what's a mortgage on that? Probably $1,200, $1,400 a month. That's essentially almost a Social Security check just going to cover a mortgage. So if we can knock that down, that's huge. And also, interest rates are still low. You know, the Fed is talking about raising interest rates here in December. But if they do, it's likely not going to be a whole lot. So we're not going to see interest rates, you know, get back up to that 6-7% on a mortgage in the next few years, probably. So again, if you're paying more than, you know, 4-5% on a mortgage, it's probably time to look at refinancing it if you haven't done it already. Now, obviously, there are closing costs and all that kind of stuff that you have to take into account. But if you're paying that type of interest, the rates are still low and we should take advantage of that. And then also the savings of your retirement. You hear us talk about it all the time, putting that money into the 401k, into your IRAs, because we've never had somebody get to retirement and say they had too much money to retire. That's just not something that we hear. So.
Yeah, yeah, that's that. There's no such thing of having too much money for retirement, right?
Very few.
And what about that? What about planning for retirement? I mean, because that's what everyone who is cognizant of their money and their finances kind of has on their in front of them their windshield, right? Is retirement? What about planning for retirement?
You know, that is very true, Mike. And in reality, when you think about it, when you're planning for your retirement, those are actually many of the same steps that you want to take, even as you go through your working years and the college paying years for maybe yourself and or your children and a whole lot of other things. Because as Kyle just mentioned a minute ago, there are a lot of variables in life that we do not have control over. But when it comes to creating your retirement goals, setting some priorities, and then being realistic with those goals and objectives is a very important part of the process. And what I mean by being realistic is you may or may not hear where on average you'll hear somebody say, well, to be able to retire, you need to accumulate $1 million. If you're making $30,000 or $40,000 a year in your career, you may or may not need $1 million or ever be able to accumulate that. So because of that, do you feel self-defeated? And the answer should be no. What are your goals, priorities for yourself? That's the primary objective. And that's where I think, again, what you always hear is talking about the importance of working with a professional, financial professional that can help guide you through that process and provide some, I think, realistic perspective of what is doable and not doable. And again, as Kyle mentioned, what you have control over and what you may not have control over, because there are, again, continuing things in life that we don't have control over. Starting that retirement plan as early as possible is never a bad move. Executing it is the other part of that. Yeah, otherwise, you're just sitting on the sidelines and formulating a lot of things that never happen.
When is a good time, Steve, to start formulating a plan? What time of year or what time of your life is good to start formulating a plan?
You know, a lot of people, Mike, I think probably look at it towards the beginning of the year as those New Year's resolutions, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But other people might even decide to look at it on their birthdays or something of that nature. So it is a personal choice. The biggest thing is to do it annually. And as I've pointed out for years, I mean, some people hesitate from goals. Well, I don't know exactly what I want to do, so they don't go forward with it. As I point out, write it in pencil, erase it, change it. The whole part of the process is that when you've got a game plan, so to speak, it's much, much easier to adjust than when you have no idea where you're heading.
You know, you might disagree with me on this. This is another advice I read one time, but one of the best days to start formulating a plan is today.
You got
today,
it.
Today, listeners.
Absolutely. No
right
question.
Right now, right?
Absolutely.
It's like, when should you start that diet? When should you start looking towards the future? How about today?
Yes.
Right now, listeners.
Yes. Yeah, because tomorrow's never show up. It's always today.
Right. Exactly. And then, yeah, you can. Today's a good day to plan a diet, and tomorrow is the day maybe to start executing it. But it's never a bad idea to start planning for your finances. Don't put that off. Do that right now.
And
then I know you
today.
Guys also talk about enjoying your life while you are trying to get to this goal too, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's a joy the ride and a joy the change of pace, because when you do... In essence, retire. That doesn't typically mean that you're going to all of a sudden vegetate and, kind of like watch life go away on you. It's a matter of you're entering your second chapter or third chapter of your life. What do you want to do differently? Let's say now you have the dollars so you don't have to work for your lifestyle. So what would you like to be able to do? What hobbies, goals, where it'd be charitable work, or maybe there's a second career that you've always wanted to do, but we're always hesitating because of the financial aspects of it.
That's the thing. Everyone's retirement is different, right? It's not everyone's going to be sipping a margarita on a beach every day and fishing every day. That might be one person's idea of retirement. Someone else's might be completely different.
Absolutely correct. And, and that always still wraps around not only the dollars, but also your health. Because obviously, if you have all the money in the world and you do not have your health, it's still not going to be much of a retirement. So it's extremely important throughout your life and during retirement to stay active, to stay healthy, to, watch what you eat. And again, do as much as you can to control your own health. Same thing. There are many things we can take advantage of and control, and there's other things we can't control, but do that also today.
Yes, and this is why it's so important to get somebody who knows what they're talking about to help you with this, right? To get a professional opinion.
Yes, very, very, very true. I mean, I point out to people for years, I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of retirements, and each individual has one that they're going into, so that perspective that a financial professional can provide for you and some realism, that can add a huge element to your success and enjoyment of your own plan.
We're going to take a break, and on the other side of it, we'll talk a little bit more about retirement and, asking the sort of questions, what matter most to you, how do you kind of start to formulate your plan for retirement, and we will also ask the cost quiz question of the week. This is Cost Financial's Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. We'll be right back.
This is Money in Motion with Cost Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to it. This is Cost Financial's Money in Motion. If you have any questions at all about anything we've covered, 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. We continue with Steve Scow and Kyle Kite from Cost Financial, KLAASfinancial.com. Gentlemen, the picture of retirement, what sort of questions should we ask ourselves as far as what retirement should look like in our lives? Because I don't really have, just thinking about it during the break with me, my wife and I, like, what does retirement look like for us? What sort of questions should we be asking ourselves?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. And it's one that we ask people all the time, because many people like yourself, they kind of have this mind of, oh yeah, I'm going to retire someday. But what does that really look like? For some people, it is, going up to their cabin all summer long and fishing. For others, it's sitting on a beach sipping margaritas, like you said. And for some, it's just, I want to hang out and be close to the grandkids and not miss any time with them. So that is a completely personal decision. And that kind of helps us decide, what is important to you? What do we need your portfolio to be able to do for you in order to where you can enjoy it as much as you can? Because again, some people, it's the second career where, you know, they've got this hobby, maybe they're a woodworker and they want to try and make all these different designs and stuff and maybe try and turn a profit or go to antique shows or whatever the case may be. So it's different for everybody. So it's really just finding out about what you think you're going to like. And then a lot of it is just experience. We just have to get out there and try some things, because we have one client that I'm thinking of right now. She's really great. And she decided that once she retired, she was going to do the things off of her bucket list. And she's, I think, in her 70s now, and she's done zip lining and she's done skydiving and all this kind of thing. So that's the beauty of retirement, is it's whatever you want to make it and whatever you want to do in it. So, again, there's a lot of different triggers that come into when people can retire. Sometimes it's people want this certain dollar amount, but it's what is that dollar amount going to do for us? And, you know, one of the jokes that we make with a lot of our clients is the big payment you make to Klaus when you work with us is your postcards and your pictures of us seeing you enjoying your retirement, because otherwise they're just numbers on a piece of paper, and that doesn't really do much for us. We want to know, what is the goal? What are we trying to do here? And if you have enough, you know, we get so many people that try and say, oh, I have to make, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10% on my investments. And if you've got enough to live the retirement you want, why are we chasing returns? Is it worth all of that risk to try and get, you know, just a little bit more money or whatever the case may be to pass on a little bit more to the kids? So that's a dangerous proposition when we start chasing returns. And again, what is it for? So that's why, you know, so much more of what we do is just more than just numbers. It's, you know, what is people's lifestyle? What do they want to do with this type of money? So
that's got to be really rewarding in your field, that getting those, you know, postcards or pictures sent to you from your clients that say, hey, you know, thanks for helping me get here. And it's a picture of people on a boat, or a picture of people celebrating their grandkids' 10th birthday or something. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, you helped get them there.
Yeah, that is the most rewarding part of what we do. It might be they took all the family down to Disney for a vacation, and this is what they wanted to spend their money on. And so that's just perfect. That's what we're going for.
What is this idea of, I've heard this before, are you an investor or an imposter? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, it's kind of a joke almost, but it's like, are you a true investor where you can handle the ups and downs of the market? Or do you only like investing when your money's going up? And once you lose a little bit of money, then we get scared and we run to cash. So that's what you call an investor. They like to see it go up, but they don't want to see it come down. So investing.
You know what this reminds me of is Cubs fans. are you only a Cubs fan because they won the World Series this year? Or were you a Cubs fan when they were winning 65 games a year?
Yeah, absolutely. My wife and I were looking at that this, you know, over this last week when we were like, we don't remember ever seeing this many Cubs shirts and things like that out.
But that is kind of true with investing too, right? Like you got to know that the market doesn't always go up. It will take dips here and there. Can you handle that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's one of the first things we do with clients is, you know, we have to turn some people away because, you know what, they're like, I want to make money, but if I see it go down 1%, I just can't handle that. Well, then maybe you shouldn't be investing in the stock market. We should put this in a safe, you know, CD or whatever it is that's, yeah, you're not going to make very much, but you're not going to lose a penny, which is what you're really going for here. So again, it's getting to know the person and what drives them, what they need as far as retirement goes and all that kind of stuff too. And you know, many people, their biggest fear is, oh, I'm so scared of running out of money. Well, that's something that we can control to an extent, is how much are we pulling off the portfolio? What do we think a long-term return is going to be? Because again, we know it's not always going to go up. Yeah, you may not run out of money if you make 9 or 10% every single year, but we know that that's not realistic over a 30-year retirement. So we have to figure those out as well.
That's probably a key thing, Steve. I'm sure when you sit down with a first-time client, is trying to gauge their, is risk aversion the right word? Like whether, how much they're willing to accept. I mean, like, I always find I am more personally somebody who doesn't mind taking risks and can accept a couple of percentages losses at some point, with the idea that keeping this in might mean a huge payoff. My wife's a lot more risk averse. She doesn't like those big fluctuations. So we somehow kind of meet in the middle. That's probably an important thing to gauge when you sit down with a couple or somebody who's by themselves also single, is what their risk assessment is. Or I'm using the wrong financial term. What would you call that?
No, that's exactly right, Mike. I mean, and that is one of the important questions, because as you just mentioned for yourself and your wife, more times than not, the spouses may not have exactly the same risk tolerance, we call it, as far as the swings in the valuations of their accounts. And at the same time, that is a moving target because as Kyle alluded to, when the markets are going up, everybody's a lot more aggressive than they are when the market goes south and goes down. Mm-hmm. But that's part of investing, especially when you're looking at retirement, not only in the accumulation phase, but even more critical and important when you're in retirement and you're drawing monthly checks out, because the volatility at that point, if you're too aggressive, can crush you. If you're too conservative, you, in essence, very well could run out of money and not be able to keep up with tax and inflation and the lifestyle that you want to be able to enjoy. So it is a balance, and it is that perspective of having that financial professional that can help guide you through that and put some realism to what's going on the short term and what impact it may or may not have on your long-term goals and objectives.
You know, gentlemen, I can't think of a better metaphor for this sort of risk tolerance situation than this last World Series. The Cubs were down 3-1. And, you know, if you were betting on the games, let's say, or if that was your retirement, a lot of people, gosh, they're down 3-1. We got to get out of this. We got to dump everything. There's no way they're going to win. And look what happened. They came back, and all this euphoria and joy. If you quit being a Cubs fan, let's say, when they're down 3-1, you would have missed out on all of the joy that that everyone got to experience there. So maybe there's some sense of wisdom in there for financial.
Absolutely correct, Mike. Absolutely correct.
Yeah. Well, at this time, we're going to ask our cost quiz question of the week. We answered this question earlier in the show, so this just shows you that you do have to listen to the entire Money in Motion segments to get a chance to win. This week's winner will win a $25 gift card for Steak and Shake. And today's cost quiz question of the week is, in the United States, currently, what is the average mortgage debt? Again, in the United States currently, what is the average mortgage debt? It's a specific number. We said it earlier, and I think Klaus will give the answer to anyone who comes within the nearest penny. no, I think there'll be a little bit of fluctuation. You'll have to call 815-877-8440 to answer that. The first person with the correct answer wins a $25 gift card to Steak and Shake, compliments of Klaus Financial. Again, the number is 815-877-8440. That is also the number two Klaus Financial. If you want some answers to retirement questions all in one place, and perhaps to sit down in person with Steve, Kyle, or any of the fine employees at Klaus Financial, call 877-8440 in the 815 area code right now. Gentlemen, is there anything else you would like to add this week before we say goodbye?
Enjoy this beautiful day. And no plan ourselves today.
Yes. That's right. And our country and our republic will exist,
yes,
no matter what next week.
Absolutely correct.
Yes. But let's not everyone freak out. If your candidate doesn't win tomorrow, it's going to be okay. Trust
yes
me. We will survive.
Have a great week.
You too, gentlemen. That is going to do it for this segment. These segments were sponsored by Cost Financial. That is also going to do it for this hour of the Michael Coolidge Show. Until next time, we'll see you at Coolidge.com. That's spelled with a K. And no matter what you do, keep that radio on.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klaus Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klaus Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klaus Financial.